Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Real Adventures, talking all things fishing, boating, and the great outdoors. For Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers, with protection like no other. And Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine. Here's your hosts, Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Habgood.
Good morning and welcome to Real Adventures for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other. Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Habgood joining you this morning to talk fishing, boating and the great outdoors.
You see what I'm doing here?
Can you stop banging
I'm
pulling
my
around
pants
me?
Up and down. Look at this.
Aaron's basically getting changed in front of me. He spent the last week in Exmouth and clearly you got into a fight with a few pelagics.
No, I didn't. I just kept walking into the boat, and I'm only little.
How was it?
G'day, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here as usual. And we had a fantastic trip up in Exmouth. It was we just got back, and
so what was the charter company?
So we're with On Strike Fishing Charters, and it was a 65-foot liverboard. It's a big cat.
Beautiful cat, though.
Unbelievable. I FaceTimed you up there. How beautiful this boat was. It was 10 out of 10. And we had
they're the best sort of boats for liverboards because it pretty much doubles your footprint compared to a conventional monohull. Like, you're not fishing out of it per se. Like, you've got the liverboard element and then you've got the tenders around it. I think it was a Boston Whale that you're fishing out of and a Fury.
Yeah, we had a Fury, we had a Whaler, and you had something else. There was three of them we had. We fished mainly out of the 30-footer.
Yep.
So we were in that the whole time. But the guy we were filming, as we mentioned last week or the week before, and it's so good. They brought the other boat out like to where we were, which is 100K, and they brought it out for us.
And like, you had incredible weather. Can you?
We did.
Normally when those...
It was windy, though.
Oh, well, you went to the west, mate. Of course it's going to be windy.
We had
the Western Australia invented wind. That's where it started.
Well, the first outlook looked terrific, and then the first couple of days were nice, and then the wind just got angry, and it was just frustrating. So we had, like, every morning was windy, and then it'd drop off for a bit.
It is a bit frustrating when you wake up early and it's like the first thing is wind versus let's fish till like 10 and then the wind comes through after that. It's like at least you can get four hours of reprieve or five.
We're literally getting smashed like in the morning and then it'll drop off and then it'll clean back up. But day one, it was just about, we'll run through the day. So day one, we headed out and the liverboard was getting kitted out to come out with us. So we jumped on the 30-footer and from the pen and out we went. And
What was that running? Twin mode?
300s.
Twin 300s.
Mercs.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah, the boat was great. I don't care where you live, and I'm changing this. I hate centre consoles. I don't even care if you're in Exmouth with 35-degree weather. You can stick your centre console somewhere where the sun
There's
don't shine.
No protection,
mate,
is there?
You're just wet all the time. Like, you're just wet. It's just crap. Everything's wet. My phone's wet. Our camera guy's wet. Everything's just wet.
What was the flare like on it?
The boat was terrific. It threw water out, but everything's wet. Like, it's just, you may as well be in a submarine.
I do agree with that.
I lived up there, and I know how practical the centre consoles are, but would you have maybe like a
centre cab walkabout
sort of thing, maybe?
100%.
I don't know, you can stick your centre console somewhere else. I just don't like them. But anyway,
they're good when you're fishing. You just don't want to be ever moving with them.
Just the whole time we just move, it's just like,
was that a Boston Whale, did you say? What was that?
That was the Fury, I think.
That was the Fury.
Yeah, the big 30-foot Fury. I think that's what we were in the whole time. And the Boston Whale was the smaller one. But the first day we headed out, and I'll give these guys credit. They run a tremendous organisation. Like, I'm not one. I don't like fishing with people. Yeah. I honestly really enjoyed these guys. Yeah. They were 10 out of 10. We had Josh, the skipper, who owned the company.
Yep.
He broke his foot or tore ligaments in his foot. So he was out with us. He was great. He couldn't come with us a couple of days. He was meant to have 6 weeks off the water, and it was 3 days later.
Yeah, nice.
Something stupid I'd do.
Read him tough in the West End.
Yeah, that's what he tells us, kept telling us. Yeah. And then we had young Dan, who's 23, and he was amazing. Like, he was a young 23-year-old, but he just knew his stuff. Not pumping my tires up, but he reminded me of myself. He was so passionate as a young kid. Started when he was 15 with Dan.
Josh.
Yeah, started the same age as me, and he was just new stuff.
Yep.
And I normally don't listen to people. I listen to these guys religiously. They were terrific. And then
shocked me with that comment.
Oh, no, I shocked myself. Don't worry about that. And then Josh, who I mentioned, is the skipper. Yep. No, Josh, a deckhand. So he was another skipper as well. I shouldn't call him the deckhand. He took us out as well. But he was great. Everyone was just great. And first day with Dan, we headed out, probably 35-minute run, bang. As many golden trevally up to I don't know how big they were, 15 kilo. Like every drop.
And what are you fishing for them? Like spin reels, obviously?
But, yeah, so Kane was running a Talica 12 on a jig rod, and I was
beautiful,
on an extractor jigging.
Reel.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was running Saragossa 10,000 on a jigging, the exact same rod as Kane, but his was overhead. Mine was just standard spin gear.
So you've got a $800 reel in the Talica.
Yep.
And the Saragossa is probably...
$400
with the sales at the moment, like Good Friday sales. Get yourself a bag at the moment, Redmond.
What do you call?
They're like $400.
Yeah, $400. Yeah,
less. Yeah,
they were. They are so
and it's
good.
Fine,
mate. They handled it. Not a drama in the world.
Yeah,
you couldn't have got me to use an overhead reel. I'm not an overhead reel person, and Kane always has been. He said to me a couple of times, he goes, "They're a bit awkward to use," and I'm like,
"Overheads or
speed? Overheads in general."
They look
cool, just don't have the balance. They look great. But we also managed to catch some seriously big cobia. We got some beautiful big cobia on the same spot and as many as you wanted.
Bigger than
much,
really?
Much bigger. Yeah, much bigger.
Thing was a shark.
Much bigger. We got, as many
Aaron
as you want.
Aaron caught this would have been pushing a meter 20 cobia back in 2018.
These things were
fished in cans.
Huge. And we ate them. The gaff got put in them. We ate them.
They're beautifully
delicious.
Yeah, fish, delicious. Yeah. Yep.
And we, what happened next? We bull sharks moved in.
Yeah.
And just
sent me some incredible vision of the drone footage of these bull sharks.
So they estimate them well over 200 kilo up to 300 kilo.
Like they're 8 foot every bit.
Nah, 12, 14 foot, some of the big ones. Like, anyway, we don't have all day here, but we basically, they moved in, we got out of there. And then I'll be honest with you.
That's the criticism in the West, isn't it, from all the anglers? It's like, can there be something done with the sheer number of sharks?
Well, I'm going to tell you a story about the sales in a minute, about the sharks as well. That's the last day, but I'll cruise through a little bit because it's a bit repetitive. And then three.
Bucket list fish after bucket list fish.
No, it wasn't. It actually wasn't. I'll be honest with you. We worked hard for our fish. I casted for GTs with massive poppers for 3 days. And
we didn't
raise one-on-one. We hooked I hooked 230
on
kilo.
On the cast.
Yeah, so we casted the whole time.
Yeah,
that's
hard work.
The whole time.
Versus live baiting
them. Mate, it was so hard. And we casted, so we call it sport fishing gear and big gear, they called it. And sport fishing gear, I was a 6,000 Stella. I hooked 230 plus kilo GTs on that.
Good luck on it.
Nearly got the second one.
I know
just
they're a great
did me
reel,
at the end.
Those things are a freight train.
We lost a lot of fish sport just accidentally hooking those bigger fish. But we targeted coral trout. We didn't catch one coral trout. We worked so hard for them. We targeted queenies. Did not catch one queenie until the last day in the area. We didn't even
Did you try
catch
turning
one.
The camera off?
Oh, it was not easy. The fishing camp, it's just fishing. Like the boys are like, oh, it's been tough. Like it has been really, really tough. And you got to remember, we were casting for these fish the whole time too.
Very big difference between. But you know what? When you're producing a TV show like you are, bait is boring.
We got a GT. Like a fish come up behind we had the West Coast Popper boys with us, and Jake at the back had something come up behind his, and he goes, "That's big."
Oh, as in the brand West Coast
Poppers? Yeah, West Coast Poppers, yeah. So they're the boys from there. And they would, and then I said to our cameraman, roll, because it missed it, and I casted behind it, and we got this GT with its whole mouth coming out of the water on camera, live bite, live hookup,
on
camera. Amazing. That's the stuff. I lost the fish, but the bite's better than actually landing the fish, in my opinion. But so we worked hard, we casted, did that repetitively for a few days, worked hard. And then I said to Josh, the skipper, I said, "Do you mind? We need to just catch some fish. Like, not being rude here, can we catch some fish?" And he's like, "Yeah, no worries. We'll go out wide." So all of a sudden, we push out wide. Oh, day two, we got some beautiful Spanish mackerel, 25-plus kilo.
They were
big
incredible
things.
Fish.
Yeah, two
incredible.
Of them.
That's my favourite eating fish.
I casted for them for 3 days, and we got two. Well, that's how hard we worked. And they were big, though. Anyway, we went out wide, started trawling for wahoo. We lost one. And we probably could have got more, but the wind come up. So we pushed out to another reef. We managed to get gold band snapper. We managed to get red emperor as well. all on camera too. So we got some beautiful fish on camera, which is great.
Great eating fish, the Red Emperor.
Yeah, we ate that beautiful fish. But we got them on...
as good as it gets.
We got them on micro jigs. No, we didn't. We put bait on the micro jigs. We actually did. We cheated. I didn't say that. But anyway...
You sound like Rex Hunt.
We actually did change the bait
isn't,
in the end.
Isn't that the story?
The bloke says to me, Josh, he goes, I've never been to this mark and not caught fish. He goes, every time.
Mate,
and
I'm
we just couldn't
you.
Catch fish.
It's the curse of the camera.
Oh, it was a pain. Anyway,
it's the
we
curse
got some,
of the camera.
Got some beautiful fish. And there's so much we can go into here. There's turtles everywhere.
They
like
were, yeah.
Big proportions of turtles everywhere. Not crystal blue water off the islands. It's out further where the water goes blue. The islands are sort of reminds me of Port Phillip Bay, that greeny
yeah.
stuff. It's not... in
a bit murky.
Yeah, but I'll get into the last day before we...
yeah, the
I'll
sails.
Talk about flights in a minute.
I love sails.
Yeah, I'm glad you do. We headed into the sails in the Gulf, and I said to him, do you reckon we can get a couple of sails? I said, yeah, they're fishing really well. We should go. Good. Tried to catch the live bait. Couldn't catch any. Crap. There's a bait ball with sails on it. We got no bait.
You're kidding. So it's there. It's in front of you.
Josh, the other captain, was driving. So Josh, the skipper, I'll call deckhand the other Josh and Josh, the skipper. Josh, the yep. skipper, was in the mothership looking that side for sails. Josh, the deckie, was in the other boat looking for sails that way, and we were in the middle looking for sails. All of a sudden, we ring Josh, and they got a yakka spot that's another 15 minutes back to where, from where the sail ground was. Go get bait for us. He's loaded up, gone and got 15, 20 yakkas for us, dropped them off to us. We found they found a brand new reef with goldens on it and cobia while we were trying to catch bait. They just come out of nowhere, and they've never fished there before. Caught as many as you want while we waited for this stuff to come. It was dropping down the sabiki. And all of a sudden, every time it went in the water, it was just golden trevally on a sabiki. And we end up changing, obviously, to jigs and whatnot. The live bait come, bang, sails instantly, straight on. And then the problem with the sails is they've got to run light drag there. So for 4 kilo we're running, which is very light. The reason for it is you need to let the fish swim away from the sharks.
Yeah.
And these bull sharks, they were like dolphins behind a boat. They just followed us everywhere we went. They were... 4, 5, 6, 10 of them. And the cobia that were with these, I swear they were bigger than the bull sharks. They were that big, these cobia that were swimming with the bull sharks. They were monstrous.
Did you switch bait them?
No, we just used liveys. We tried switch baiting, but when they're on the bait balls concentrated, they've got no interest. And I was blown away by it because the way he explained to me was, what happens is they go in with their big sail, right? They nail the bait ball and they push one bait out, right? And then all they do is fixate on that one bit
one
of bait and they want that one bait. So he gave me the rundown at the start, and what do? Oh, there's a sail. I flick my bait to it. He goes, no, put it in the bait ball because there's multiple sails there. He goes, all the sail, he goes, you will not catch that sail on the side because it's fixated on that bait. And he was honestly dead right. Well, that's not how you catch a marlin, like a bit different. So anyway, once we put it into the bait.
As you just walk back with your tail between
your
legs.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, right. Yelled at me too. No, I like it.
Now you know how it feels.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. It was good getting a bit of my own medicine. But basically, these sharks were so vicious, and I was trying to lead them up. And we're only running 60, 80 pound leader. So, like, I pulled the hook on one, popped one off, and then the next one come up, and I made sure I got it because we're on camera. And I don't like saying this, but
they're
beautiful fish. This is how fast these sharks were. We're getting photos with the sail. We let it go on camera to swim off.
Bang.
Mate, before you even let it go, he literally said to us, keep your arms out of the water. He goes, the sharks will come up. Well, that's how vicious they are. Now, the next bit to this story is, when he's chasing these sails around, he's worse than me. He's like an idiot on a dodgem car. This is how good the skippers are. They were hammering around on these sails, chasing the sharks to push them away from the sail. So they're chasing the sharks because they're on top trying to get the sail. Mm. And if they're hammering, they're in reverse, the boat's full of water, it is mental, like what they're doing. Like it's not marlin ferocious, it's next level ferocious. But the problem is,
which is saying something if you're saying it's ferocious.
Yeah, it was as ferocious as you get. I copped a bill to the head off a sail trying to grab it as well. But it was unbelievable the way they drove for these fish. And I forgot where my train of thought was going then.
Well, we're gonna hold off on the trip itself in terms of the flights.
I'm gonna review it all.
The gaff
as well.
Is coming a little later.
I'm going to review the flights and I'm going to tell you how to get to Exmouth as well.
We've got a massive show of real adventures coming your way this morning. Sean Clancy joins me a little later in the show as well, chatting about the new Minn Kota range, typically something that we've always seen in terms of electric engines, Vinos, four-metre punts, five-metre punts. The last few years we've seen that grow into the trailable section. Well, These new outboards or these new electric motors are game changers. 35, 40-foot boats these are now designed for. So we're going to go in depth with Sean and chat through that, as well as, of course, after the break, Redmond. We are zipping right around the country for the whip around. You're listening to Real Adventures for Razorback 4x4.
That was Red's review for Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
Welcome back to Real Adventures for Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine. It is now time for the whip around for Mildura. Unexpected, unforgettable. Start planning and find out for yourself. Visit mildura.com.au. We kick things off in New South Wales, Redmond. The dolphin fish, the mahi-mahi, the Maui-Maui.
My son actually calls him Maui. Have you been ringing my son? He calls him that. I'm like, it's mahi-mahi.
The Maui-Maui. Around Sydney, Redmond.
Yeah, there's plenty of fish showing up already. But the problem is it going to hang around or not? They didn't. Al McGlashan reckons last year they had come early, then they disappeared, and they come a little bit again.
What are we pushing into now? Back end of November? So coming into December? Mm-hmm. Surely, as things start to
these currents are going to really fire up, yeah. Hope they stick around. I really do. Good signs early. There's plenty of fish there, so it's really, really good. A few fads working as well out of Sydney, which is always good. And then heading inland, some huge flathead. Now, this blew me away. Multiple fish over 90 centimetres.
That's a
out of the Two Ross
big croc.
Two Ross River.
Really?
It's massive. And Two Ross fish is very, very well for big flathead. Big swim baits and big soft plastics are going to get you those big fish. And
it's incredible the size of the baits and lures that people continue to use for giant flathead. They are a seriously...
Sort of like me with a ribeye.
They're a seriously aggressive fish. Hey, let's push further north. The Logan River is the hot spot at the moment. When it comes to, speak of the devil, flathead and brim right now, with most anglers getting some great action. Good to hear, Redmond.
Yeah, it is. And they're like those flathead are really good eating size too. So they're not too big where you can't keep them. They're perfect size to eat. So well done there. And the Sunshine Coast snapper, and you're in full swing. Like we always talk about, different strain of snapper with that knobby head. And they are plastics, vibes, different fishing to the old Port Phillip Bay. But yes, it's different fishing, but it's fishing very, very good out of the Sunshine Coast.
Western Australia, we spoke about the Exmouth report.
Yep.
Plenty of big fish, plenty of big sharks.
Oh, the place is incredible to fish, and apart from coral trout, we didn't catch any, but the Golden Trevally, Cobia, were on. To report anything, they were just the ones that you want. They pull hard, they're fun to catch. If you want to eat a bull shark, I'm sure you can go catch one of those, no worries.
Would you do a liverboard again? Was that a good way to fish, do you feel?
You were there. In the action the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We only had to drive 10 minutes to each island.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
Big trip to get there,
expensive,
clearly.
Expensive. I reckon it would have cost me, I reckon it was $8,000 a head, roughly.
Yeah.
Flights and stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, we had the boat to ourselves as well, though.
But it is one of those, you know.
Yeah, you're not doing it every week.
Trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, it's great. Now, that is, it is written right there. I just don't know how to pronounce it. Waura Station Coast,
Cobia. This is a great insight to how our radio show goes, is because Aaron writes up some of our report.
Well, I don't know what I've done here.
And some of
it says, Cobra. I've written Cobra coming in on a 7-inch plastic.
Some of his spelling.
The good thing is, I've got it all saved in my phone.
This is
Cobia. Cobia is the one I'm looking for.
That's what I said to you.
7-inch soft play. I know, but I thought I was catching a snake.
You are very good with your reporting, just not always your spelling. Yeah. So what was that? So Waroora Station, Cobia on 7-inch soft plastics.
And Cobras on 7-inch soft plastics coming good. I'm moving to South Australia. Exmouth and that's had enough.
Please.
The West has had enough.
Please do
South
that.
Australia, Smoky. I had to check my phone. Apologies for the silence. Smoky Bay Jetty producing the goods on calamari and King George Whiting.
We love that.
You did hear that, right? Jetty. The jetty, which is always good. So land-based people can go out and do that, obviously, if they don't have a boat. And the Spencer Gulf have some huge kingfish coming in, and they're up to 15 plus kilo.
That's a big fish.
Live bait's been the go. Yeah, and they tried to keep it a little secret, a little cheeky guys.
Once you get them going, Is it worth trying knife jigs, you reckon, or just it's gonna be consistent capture?
The fish that are that big, this and that, they're not in your big, like they're in big schools, but they're not in huge schools. You're gonna get, I reckon you're gonna pick them off more. Like you're gonna get your twos and ones. You're gonna get multiple hookup, but might be a bit of patience waiting for them to come back through.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's how I would think it would be. I've actually never fished there, and I'd love to, but I would presume that it's not gonna be every single bait you put in the water.
Tasmania, Brumby Creek, the trout are going really well on the fly. Multiple fish landed to 12 pounds. And for those that don't fly fish, that is like the meter mark when it comes to barra. Anything over 10 pounds is a seriously significant fish.
I would even nearly have interest in catching one after seeing that photo. South Arm Beach.
Almost.
Nearly there. Just don't have my Ray-Bans yet. South Arm Beach on the kayaks. There were some really good gummies caught. There was a group of kayakers went out and they got multiple gummies between them, and they were up to 10 kilo. So really good fishing for the yak guys. Fresh salmon was the go, but anything you can get that's relatively fresh or oily, and you'll have a good shot in catching a gumbo.
Closer to home, Eben, what do you have for us in Victoria at the moment?
I got back into it at home, got some beautiful snapper at the end of the week, and then whiting was actually a bit tough, to be honest with you. They're good. But the problem is the tides are crap.
Yeah.
So they slowed up on me and I only had the backside of the tide with the time that I could fish. Squid went well for me once I found them. Western Port, snapper.
Why did it take so long to find them? Was it the... Is it hard to find the water?
Didn't know where they were.
Yeah. So you just could have spent time in the water.
Yeah, I was just looking for those eggs and I just couldn't... The water was dirty and I just couldn't find them. I found them next to the ramp virtually. And I... Not that I was that far from the ramp, but I'd moved down... I was moving my way down on the tide to try and find them, and I kept zigzagging each patch of weed looking for eggs, and it was sure enough, it was the last one just before I had to come home. So
are you casting, like ghosting it and hoping, or are you waiting to see it?
Normally, I only just use my eyes, normally, but the water wasn't clear enough. It was clear enough, but we had overcast day,
yeah,
and I couldn't just make out the bottom properly. It wasn't clear, like I had to actually fish. So I was setting my drift up on all my old marks from like last year, the year before, where I roughly catch squid this time of the year, set my drift up, fish over it. If they're there.
Yeah.
And like we picked off a couple of small ones, and you can look at the squid. If it's got spawny marks all over it, or if you get three in a row, you know that they're going to be in that area dropping eggs.
Yeah.
And like I said to you before, it took me a bit to find them. But once I did, we got our bag in minutes, but it took me 2 hours to find him, which it wasn't the plan of attack at the
start.
Exactly. Yeah. What else have we got? The snapper in Port Phillip are as good as they get.
We're seeing great reports at the moment. Social media lighting up.
Yep, sensational. Western Port is very, very good for the snapper. Will they start to do the old slowdown? Good chance as it gets hotter. We're not getting any hot days, really. I know it's a little bit warmer, but we're not hot, so it could maintain for a bit, which is really good.
So you think the hot days slow them up?
No, it doesn't slow them up on the day specifically, but if we start getting weeks of 30-degree weather, the temp's going to go bang too hot, and it's not their spawning temperature, and when they spawn is when they feed. They're aggressive.
Gotcha.
So that's when they'll slow down as such. So it's about the temperature of their, I guess, when you're sitting at home having your dinner.
Sweet spot. Yeah,
sweet spot. Yep. It's just where you don't want to be cold, you don't want to be hot. That's their sweet spot when they start to breed. Not that temperature affects me there, Patrick. Some nice size tape gumbos had a lake entrance also.
Yeah, and
not bad fish. See. And pinkies as well. Lots of pinky snapper.
Yep.
Haven't seen any big ones yet. Yellow bellies. Yellows, as
yellows,
Credlin likes to call it. On the Little Murray. And they were caught on grubs. And I missed one just above here. Welsh pool starting to see those big 20-pound snapper move in, which is
real big ones,
exciting for the guys that like to head down there. And redfin and trout down the southwest lakes. And I reckon the trout are going to get better and better. I've seen a post from from Victorian Inland Fishing Charters.
Yep.
And they had some beautiful big trout during the week, and they reckon it's just going to get better and better as it gets warmer. And I'm presuming that's your early morning, late afternoon sort of stuff, and then your redfin during the day.
Yep.
So that's how I'm tipping they're going to approach that.
That was the whip around for me.
You're listening to Real Adventures, talking all things fishing, boating, and the great outdoors for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive sea covers with protection like no other. And Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
It's now time for All Aboard for Mildura. Unexpected, unforgettable, start planning and find out for yourself. Visit mildura.com.au. My special guest this morning is Sean Clancy, brand manager at BLA. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Pat. How are you? Going well, mate. Now, you've been on the show plenty of times before, good friend of the show, and we love talking technology with you. It's clearly what you do with BLA, and you're at the forefront of new technologies coming in. You were in the States in June, and Mincota, what we've known as, you know, the leaders in electric outboards, for want of a better term, they're continuing to push the boundaries, mate.
Yeah, the new range, new brushless range of motors is just unbelievable. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to go for the launch last year, and the power and torque of these things is just unbelievable. And probably the one for the Australian market that will get everyone excited is the new Instinct, which is our new auto stow deploy motor. You know, it's from 60-inch through to 100-inch shaft length. So that might tell you a bit about the sort of boats these things will go on.
So when it comes to – it's a good segue, because I think for a long time, and perhaps it was more suited to that, Mincotas and electric motors, it was an estuary-based system or a freshwater-based system. They'd sit on the front of a Vino's punt, you know, 4 metres in length, and that was sort of what people used it for. And then over the last few years, we've seen this incredible explosion with maxi trailable boats adopting and using this technology. And it really is becoming one of those things that as we spend more and more on maxi trailable boats, everyone puts these on.
Yeah, and I suppose it was when Mincota released their first generation of auto stow and deploy motors that it really, the seed was planted. So for guys with cabin boats that don't really have good access to the bow, all of a sudden there was a motor that could be stowed and deployed from the cabin, and that's what got people thinking. And I suppose the big feature was around spot lock, the ability to anchor offshore in any depth and with a lot more accuracy than a traditional anchor, which obviously, you know, in 20 metres of water, you're putting 60 metres of rope and chain out. So any slight variance of current or wind, you have zero chance of staying exactly where you want to be. And, you know, where guys can be on spot lock in 200, 300, 400, 500 metres of water and just sitting on, literally on a dinner plate.
I think it's a great point, because it's something that Aaron and I often talk about when he talks about using the anchor to your advantage. It helps you catch more fish, but you need to know how to actually use it. Once you drop it, it's not exactly where you're going to sit. You're going to move. You're going to put, you know, meters and meters of anchor rope out, so you've got to account for that. Then you've got to account for the tide, the drift, the wind. Versus this technology, it makes it, well, far better for someone like myself who doesn't fish as much as I'd like, but it becomes foolproof in a sense, because you hit the button and that's where you stay.
Yeah, so as soon as you see a fish come out on your sounder, hit spot lock and you're over those fish. So you can do a vertical drop down, whether that be with a jig or a bait or anything, straight down. You know you're dropping straight on those fish because you marked them, hit spot lock, you're there. Whereas, and we know Port Phillip Bay snapper season's right in swing at the moment. And, you know, those guys are going out, say, 15 to 20 metres of water, marking fish, and then they got to work out, okay, now current's coming this way, wind's this way. I think I've got to go about 40 metres to 60 metres that in this direction, drop the anchor, and then hopefully I'll ease back on where the fish are. Very hard. The other thing that you're doing, and the snapper guys always talk about it, is you are dropping an anchor and chain and everything down to them on the bottom. So it might take a while for those fish to settle back down. If you drive over them, mark them, hit spot lock, they don't know you're there. So your chances of instantly hooking up is accelerated beyond measure. And the guys that are using them now, their catch rates are just through the roof.
In terms of the changes that you've seen, you've obviously been in the industry for a really long period of time. The technology's improved for the casual observer, when they see, similar ratings of pound thrust, but the changes in the torque have been such a significant improvement. These are far different engines than the ones that we've seen on shelves, 2, 3, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah, so the new brushless motor technology is a lot more powerful for the same sort of voltage demand. They're actually a lot more silent, which for the offshore guys isn't really important, but certainly for the inland and estuary guys, that's a major factor. But the torque of these new brushless motors is unbelievable. In the past, guys would sort of talk about boat size and will it suit this, and we've really just pulled people up at about 7.5 meters, sort of that 23, maybe 25 foot. That's kind of where we say, yeah, that's about the limit now. These new motors, 35, 40 foot, let's have a chat. It's pretty amazing. So certainly anything that we can trailer in Australia, you're good to go. No problem at all. And then we'll have a chat to the big moored boat guys and see what we can do.
What about the battery technology? Like one of the, I suppose, the challenges has been how long these motors can function for, depending on how hard they're working. Lithium's obviously made a difference there.
Yeah, so our BLA Marine Performance lithium batteries, obviously massive weight saving, also a lot more amp hours per recharge cycle. So the capacity of 100 amp hour lithium is a lot higher capacity than an AGM. And then longevity of that too. And it also has full Bluetooth monitoring. So you can see, oh, I've got 65% left. I'm good for the rest of the day. One of the other things we've added from a battery point of view is our new DC to DC chargers. So that enables you to charge your 36 volt lithium from your engine when you're driving. Yeah. So you do a run out to a spot and you might put 5-6% back into the battery when you do that run. And then you're running from spot to spot. The testing that we've done and guys out in the field using them, they're getting back to the ramp at the end of the day with more charge in than when they left. So that's really, it's becoming a self-charging system that keeps up with the actual demand when it's in use. So that's a massive change as well.
And there's obviously fish finding technology that actually syncs in with the Mincoders as well, Sean.
Yeah, so all the new Mincoders are network ready to hum and burn. And that has quite a few advantages. One's obviously the basic controls, all the controls of the Mincoder can be done through the Humminbird. But you can also do some pretty tricky things with our Coastmaster mapping where you can say, okay, I want to follow that contour line and I want to follow it at a given speed. So one of the things you can do is if it's blowing 20 knots, you can say, okay, I want to follow that contour line, but I only want to do 3 knots or 2 knots, whatever you want to do. And one of the other features, and I think this is going to be even bigger than SpotLock, is called drift mode. And that enables you to choose your drift direction and your drift speed, which is just going to be huge. A lot of the offshore guys, they actually quite often want to drift. Yes, SpotLock certainly has its place, but in a lot of situations, you actually want to drift for a lot of bottom bouncing techniques and that sort of stuff. And if the wind gets up and you're drifting faster than the current, which is pretty much what you want to do to get that vertical presentation, you want to drift with the speed of the current. When the wind gets up, we're then putting, sea anchors out and other things out to slow us down. And then you're starting to work through your different sinker weights or jig weights to try and maintain connection with the bottom. This new drift mode will do all that electronically. So you say, well, I want to go in this drift direction and I want to be at this speed. I don't want to be any quicker than this. And it'll do that for you.
Does that help with the position of the stern as well, in terms of casting and multiple anglers? That's obviously one of the big challenges when you're fishing with, you know, more than two people, and you're drifting and moving quickly, and wind's a factor.
That's a good point. And I think what it will do is, because the motor will naturally point bow into the wind, just because the motor's obviously going to be pulling against the wind, what that'll enable you to do is both sides of the boat are then in play.
Become visual.
Because as you know, in the past, the boat would always go side on or whatever, and you try and steer the wheel so that the outboard acts as a bit of a rudder, and you're trying to square yourself up, or you're moving your sea anchor from different cleats.
Yeah, you're fighting for the best spot on the boat to cast from.
Yeah, and then there's still only one side of the boat that's in play. With this mode, both sides of the boat will be evenly in play, because the motor's pointing straight into the wind.
When it comes to the technology, the dealership network around the country, what's the best way to go about sort of investigating it further? Is it something that you can install yourself? Is it better off going to a dealer, chatting through, you know, what sort of fishing you do, what boat clearly you've got, and how to make it work?
I think, you know, in the US, if you open center consoles and that sort of stuff, it's all pretty easy to do. In Australia, we obviously have a big market of cabin boats and that sort of thing. So there's going to be fabrication work involved. I don't think the instinct motor with the amount of power these things have, and, you know, up to 100-inch shafts and all that, I don't really think it's a do-it-yourself kind of install. I think you need to go and see some experts.
Yeah.
Go to your Minn Kota store. They might have a local, they might have in-house fabrication, or they might have an outsourced fabrication where the right bracketry or the right support. If it was a fiberglass boat or even an aluminium boat, if it was never designed for a Minn Kota to be up the front, then it probably doesn't have enough glass up there or support up there for what these things can do. So there'll be definitely some fabrication, but the beauty is, in Australia, there's so many smart fabricators out there that just live and breathe this sort of stuff. I like the idea of and we've seen it a few times, and our friend Bomber did it, where the Minn Kota's mounted above the bowsprit, so there's still room underneath for the anchor and everything, and then above that, the Minn Kota gets mounted above that on the bowsprit, just above the bowsprit. I really like that idea, and I think it would suit a lot of Aussie boats.
It's obviously, we were chatting off air, it's one of the things that's similar to the increase in size in sounders and fish finders now, that manufacturers were forced to change dash layouts and sizes to accommodate new technology. It's got that similar feeling, doesn't it, with these Minn Kotas, that manufacturers now will adopt new technologies and design their hulls and their stainless work to accommodate, you know, the technology that everyone now wants on their trailer boats.
Yeah, and I think that they definitely need to. And what we've seen, you know, we've sent out a lot of CAD designs and things to our Australian and New Zealand boat builders, so that they can design their boats and change their boats to accommodate these motors. You know, every time we think we're hitting the top of the curve of this sort of product, then you know, a bigger motor or something else comes out, and it just opens up. There's so many guys with 8 meter to 11, 12 meter boats that we've turned away in the past that are now just going to be frothing to get one of these new ones fitted to their boat.
I bet they are. If you want more information on the Minn Kota range, the Humminbird range, bla.com.au is where to go to do your research. Sean Clancy, our special guest on Real Adventures this morning. All for all aboard for Mildura. Unexpected, unforgettable. Start planning and find out for yourself. Visit mildura.com.au.
Red's review for Club Marine. Boating's just better with Club Marine Boat Insurance.
Now it's time for Red's review from Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
I'm going to take you through just the organising that went in.
It was
great.
Planning
to get yourself on a liverboard. Get someone that doesn't fool you like I did. Jake from West Coast Pop was organiser and did a terrific job. Basically, you touch base with the skipper, explain what you want to do, and the skipper, Josh, on Strike Charters, doesn't want groups.
Yes.
He wants one single group. He doesn't want multiple people.
Yeah.
Because one guy wants to catch a marlin, one guy wants to catch a coral trout, you want to catch a queenie.
I was about to say that. You want someone with a group that have all the same idea of what they want to chase.
So what I'd advise you to do is grab five mates, six mates, whatever it is. You can probably fish four, five, six.
Yep.
There's multiple boats and two skippers, so I'm sure if you talk to him, he could take two boats out on the day. So that's basically what you want to do. You want to touch base, work out what you want to do, get your group together. Now, we flew from Melbourne to Perth.
Yep.
And then we had a Qantas link that went...
Same day.
This one was only a couple of hours later. And we went straight to Learmonth, which then we waited around for about minus 5 minutes. The bus was already there at the front for us. And it was a shuttle that moved to Exmouth bus. All this had a trailer on the back, which was fantastic. So we had a massive rod tube. So the rod tube went in the back, and we had a lot of camera gear and a lot of suitcases of fishing tackle. All went in the back, and then the bus takes you straight to Exmouth. Exmouth got dropped off at the boat. Josh was waiting there for us with a nice Asahi. It was beautifully cold.
We love that. He's read the play there.
He has read the play. It was that hot there. I don't really drink beer at all, to be honest with you.
And you were drinking
beer. Best beer I've ever drank. I was like, got off the bus. I'm like, oh. Anyway, nice refreshment. And then we made our way to the boat. Now, the boys organised a taxi to go get the refreshments for the week, I should say.
Yep.
So they'll head down to get some stuff. Josh supplied all the food and everything, so they had to get whatever you wanted to take on the boat, that basically accessory. So they head into town. I sat down with Josh and went through all of our gear. It was great. We're on this liverboard. We went through all our gear. The plan, will this work? Will this work? He looked at me stupid a couple of times, going, that's not going to stop it. And
mate, seriously, isn't that the way? Like you live in one part of the world, one part of the country, and then you go up to another, hey, this will be fine.
Mm.
And they're freight trains.
It's just different fishing because you just have to stop them. So like a 10-kilo fish, right? Well, we catch 30-kilo bluefin on 5,000 stratic, but they don't put you into reef.
Yeah, they're not on the bot. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like a 30-kilo, like you got a 30-kilo GT that tries to cut you off every millisecond.
Yeah, you've got two.
I'll give you a little story on a GT just quickly. We hooked this beautiful GT. I hooked it, they reckon 30-plus kilo. Oh, I think this one was 20 kilo, sorry, 20-plus kilo. Hooked it, and the boys go, you might get this, you're in clear ground. Drag locked up as tight as could go, it's still pulling out. I'm holding on like you wouldn't believe. I know, joke, they said to me, this GT knows where he's going. 130 metres, we measured it. It took us to the one single bommie. It knew exactly where it was. 130 metres, it sprinted straight at this bommie. Bang, straight into it. And it was the only bommie there. And they said they know where every bommie is on the G. Sorry to go off track there, but
that's just amazing,
unbelievable.
Though.
Unbelievable. Yeah. They know the terrain. So then we, on the boat, we headed out. So we're headed out on the Friday. So stayed in the marina on the Friday night.
Yep.
Saturday morning came, we headed out. Friday, we fished at 2 o'clock. And then we come back because our flight was at 4:40. So we got the shuttle bus at 2:30 back to the airport, and away we went. And then we got a plane home, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Now, if I was to do anything different, I'd probably more go when there's not going to be as much wind. I reckon we had a bit too much wind. And I know it's hard to predict that when you're booking stuff.
It is.
But they call it. They said May is like calm May.
Yeah, okay. It's the time.
Yeah, and the fishing's good. So if you're heading there, give Josh a call from OnStrike Charters and he'll be able to tell you when it's going to be calm, your chances of it being calm. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't nice for us. I didn't want it. It was
to work.
It was 25 knots most of the day at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, you can always hide around islands. You can always do all this. But if you can somehow put it in your favour.
Cherry pick a little bit, that's what
I would be doing. And that's pretty much the only thing I've been doing different. So that's the review on how to get there, how to do it. And it was very cruisy and easy to do. It wasn't as stressful as you think it would be. And basically, it's a trip of a lifetime.
On Strike Charters for more information, pretty much whack it into Google and you'll be on your way. That is Red's Review.
That was Red's Review for Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine. That was Red's Review for Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hapgood with you this morning. It's time for Red's Tip. And as we come into, well, we're right in smack bang in the middle of it, Redmond. Black Friday started yesterday. A lot of stores sales throughout the week, but two of the biggest chains in the fishing and outdoor space, obviously BCF and Anaconda, both offering sales at the moment in excess of 50% off.
You just need to be very careful on the scammers, though. They're next level. So what they've done is, on the Anaconda website, they've got the exact same name, Anaconda, say it's anaconda.com.au, for instance.
Yep.
What they've done is they've used an acrylic A. So it looks the same in lowercase as a normal A, but they've used acrylic, so it's different. And that's how they're getting away with it.
Get yourself in store. So
in store.
Yeah.
Can't get scammed.
So a few little tips, though. So Lowrance, at the moment, 50% off in-store BCF.
50% off.
Yep. You can buy Dometic fridges at the moment for $600, saving $480, 25% off. It's Webster, isn't it?
What? Webster?
The barbecues?
Weber.
Webster.
That's as bad as me.
Yeah, well,
where are you going?
I'm going to get a Webster. but Anaconda as well, pretty much, they'll match each other. So if you find something, you can just go, mate, this is where I can get this at BCF, or this is where I can get this at Anaconda. There, the price wars are on. So go and get yourself a bargain and leading up into Chrissy.
100%, because we're all going to buy stuff for Christmas. You may as well do it while the discounts are there.
How absolutely. Hey, the Flying Gaff is heading
west.
He's heading. I warned you.
Mate.
Go on.
I thought I was dead.
Go on.
I thought I was dead. So, plane, 4:40 Western Australia time, 7:40 yes. Vic time.
Yep.
From Learmonth to Western Australia.
The red eye.
I don't know why Jake organised this and not just organised the plane the next day. We got a plane at 10:40. We had to wait in the airport for 4 hours for our next plane.
Yes.
10:40 we left.
What time did you get into Melbourne at?
I got home, 5:30. I got home at 7:30 in the morning. I hadn't slept.
In the morning.
I've never done that before.
And you're not good on those.
No. I've been the whole week recovering.
So you're gaffing yourself, is that
No,
that right?
I'm gaffing Jake for booking it because he could have gotten us a beautiful accommodation that night and we could have just gone the next morning and we all would have been right. Every person on that plane, Charlie Curnow was on the plane. Don't know what he was doing.
He'd just been fishy.
No, he hasn't. He got told he had a little girlfriend over there. Ooh. Don't know how true that is.
Geez, that's not a bad...
He was talking to my cameraman.
That's like a rumour file.
I know. I started it. Sorry, Charlie. I don't even know who you are, but I don't really care. Basically, don't ever do the red eye because it's the worst thing ever invented. It's dumb why you'd have a plane that leaves at 10:40. It's just stupid. When you arrive in Melbourne at 7:30, it's just the most ridiculous thing you could ever do. Anyone that's doing it, I will shout you a room that night to not do it because of the pain that I went through. That's got the gaff.
That, of course, isn't binding at all because Aaron can't afford that. We hope you've enjoyed your company this morning on Real Adventures, all for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other.
I was borrowing your credit card.
We'll see you next week to do it all again.